Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hello, everybody. This is Hanshin Tigers English News H10. As we have been from the start, it is great to have you with us for another awesome episode. This is episode number 47, and today for us is Sunday, September the 11th. It is a very sad day in the history of America. This marks the 15th year since the 9/11 terrorist attack, if in fact it was a terrorist attack, but we're not going to go into that on this show because we are not about politics or conspiracy theories, are we, Joe?
Well, we may be about some baseball conspiracies, but...
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about some of those, and certainly it seems like there might be some. By the way, I'm T-Ray, if you didn't know that. And yeah, thanks for coming along with us again, Joe. Good to hear you again.
No problem.
Yeah, how you doing anyways?
Not too bad. Working on a little home renovation project, working on redoing a bathroom, so...
Nice.
Got it all torn out.
Handyman Joe. Good stuff. Long project, or...?
Hopefully just a weekend. Just took down some wallpaper that was previously up in the house and put up some tile to cut, you know, to go over that, and then repainting the rest of it. So about halfway there.
Cool stuff. All right. I wish you all the best with that. Well, as I said, this is episode number 47. Number 47 on the Hanshin Tigers. Do you know? No. Very few do. His name is Shoya Yamamoto, and he actually just got called up from the farm this week for the first time this season. So I think he's 28 years old, and he was only drafted a few years ago. He was drafted out of Industrial League. Last year he made one start. It was a really good one, and then he kind of fizzled in the bullpen, and then this year again he just came up. I felt bad. His very first appearance, his job was to face one batter. I think it was against the Giants, and it was a lefty hitter. It might have been Garrett Jones or something like that. Anyways, it ended up being an error to our fielder, and that was it. And then he was pulled, and it was like, oh, man. Like, his one guy, and he actually did his job, but our fielders didn't. It's the story of the Hanshin Tigers this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as we talk about this week, we're going to, you know, if we get into a lot of detail, we're going to hear about a lot more fielding follies. But before we get into the action here, Joe, of course, I've got some big news for everybody out there. I kind of talked about it last week on the show. But my wife was 39 weeks pregnant at the time that we posted the show. And so at around the 39 and a half week mark on Friday night here in Japan, my wife gave birth to our second son. And we are really excited. He's healthy. My wife is doing well. And my son's name is Alex. So not named after Alex Rodriguez, not named after Alex Ramirez. We just like the name, and so that's it. He is A-Ray.
Right. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. We are very excited about that. And so, you know, as you have heard in some of the previous episodes, I've got recordings of my older son, J-Ray, doing some of the cheer songs and even singing Roko Roshi and stuff. And so maybe in a couple of years' time, A-Ray is going to be joining in. We might have some duets, some harmonies. Stay tuned. It's all going to be real exciting. It's going to be a family business here, and you know it's going to be good times. Anyways, let us jump into the action, Joe. So this week we had three games against the Yomiuri Giants at Koshien, where we should, in theory, be able to beat teams. We should be able to win series. However, heading into the series, we were 21-30-2 on the year at Koshien. And against the Giants, we were 0-6-1.
Yikes.
Yeah, terrible. So we bring our two, quote-unquote, two best pitchers to the mound in the first two games. The first day we brought in Shintaro Fujinami. If you remember from last time he pitched, Joe, one inning pitched and how many earned runs?
I was like six or seven, something like that.
Well, it was five earned runs, but it was seven runs. Yeah, so more runs than we have fingers on one hand. So pretty pathetic. Anyways, this one, you know, we're hoping. I saw they showed a stat that Fujinami, in the first inning of games, he had allowed 22 runs in 22 games.
Wow.
Yeah, so an ERA of 9 in inning 1. So obviously his biggest challenge is to get through that first inning, and he did. However, I'm still going to start the scoring because the Giants led off the scoring in the top of the second. And this came off a couple of hits, and then a plunked batter, and then a sacrifice fly. So 1-0 for the Giants after two innings. And then two innings later, they come back again. And after a hit, a sack bunt, and a double by none other than pitcher Tomoyuki Sugano, big double to left field, to center field, pardon me. I guess right center it was. So now the score is 2-0. And actually, Fujinami last year allowed a big double to Miles Michaelis. So he's prone to, you know, letting his guard down against the pitchers. So that's that. Mm-hmm. In the fifth inning, our defense came through for us. Came through for them. What happened? They got a couple of hits followed by a strikeout and then an error by second baseman, which allowed a run to score. What exactly happened there? I forget. You remember?
I didn't catch it, actually, okay. To be honest with you.
Okay. Well, our second baseman on the day was... Oh, I remember. It was Hiroki Uemoto, and that's what makes it easy to remember because he's got so few errors. Haha, whatever. He actually fielded it. It was looking good for a double play. It could have been a double play. Instead, he threw it into the third base dugout, pretty much, or between that and the left field bleachers. So a really bad throw on that, and that resulted in a run scored. So 3-0, and actually Fujinami's game ended in the fifth inning, actually in the bottom of the fifth, because they brought in a pinch hitter. Take away the scoring here for us a bit.
All right. So in the bottom of the fifth, they bring in Hataguchi as a pinch hitter after, Imanari strikes out. So and Hataguchi strikes out. So not starting off the inning too well, but then Hojo and Uemoto come up with hits. And then so Takayama is up with two outs, runners on first and second. And gets a hit to left to score the first run of the game for the Tigers, making it 1-3.
Uh-huh.
Followed up by Mr. Fukudome, who makes a hit to right, scoring the second run, making it 2-3. So it looks like we're building a little bit of a comeback. And then Gomez, who's already 2-for-2 for the night, comes up and gets a strikeout to end inning. So
yes.
A little bit of a comeback here, 2-3. Hopefully we can build on that momentum.
Yeah, you'd hope so, but unfortunately, it did not work out that way. Actually, our relievers came in the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and other than a hit in the 8th, which then was ended up being a double play ball, we were great. And then in the 9th inning, Mateo came in, and Mateo was actually, he was decent. He walked a guy with one out, and then there was a hit by Kamei, and then a strikeout, and then a fly ball. However, they scored a run somewhere in there. I believe it was on Kamei's hit where another error took place. Oh my gosh. I guess, you know, having a son during the week makes you forget a lot of the bad stuff that goes on in the world. But it certainly wasn't Mateo's fault. It was an unearned run, in fact. So it was, again, fielding blunders by our boys. This one would have been an error by... Yes! Okay, now I remember. It was Shibata. It was on the hit by Kamei to center. It was actually rolling to him, and it rolled past him. So runners advanced, and then a little bit later, it was a pass ball. Hataguchi let one through his legs, and that was that. So that scored the run. So Mateo was definitely the victim of our poor defense, although it didn't hurt his ERA. It certainly hurt our chances to win because it was 4-2 heading into the bottom of the ninth, and
yeah, one we hit. Get a. Shibata hit, and then a fly by Nakatani, and then Hataguchi comes in and gets a double play to end the game.
Right, so the two guys that blew it in the ninth inning, one of them tried to atone, or, you know, somewhat did by getting a hit, but then Hataguchi could not atone for his. He hit into a double play, so game over. 4-2, so now we're 0-7-1 against the Giants at home. And, you know, the memories of that one win the previous week against the Bay Stars is forgotten. With that ugly loss. Terrible, terrible defense by our boys. You know, two of their four runs were essentially our fielder's fault. And since we lost by two runs, that's kind of that's the ball game. I mean, Fujinami, let's not make any mistakes about it. Fujinami was not great. Mind you, neither was Sugano. I mean, we got 9 hits off of him. However, they were all singles except for Gomez's double, I believe. So,
10 hits and only 2 runs, that's not good.
No,
it is not. String some of them together.
Yeah, but again, it's the march of the singles. Like I said, we had 1 double and 9 singles. And so when you're trying to string together runs and you have to depend on several hits in a row anytime you want to score runs, it's not going to go well for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, let's move on. Enough of that. So the next day we bring in our real best pitcher, not Fujinami. And that guy's name is Randy Messenger. And he's going up against a guy named Kazuto Taguchi, who is a young pitcher who's actually really had our number this year. And if he gets the win here, he gets his 10th win on the season. Meanwhile, Messenger is vying for his 12th win of the season. So unfortunately, Messenger ran into some trouble early. He definitely wasn't his best on this game. So he allowed a leadoff hit followed by bunt. And then a couple batters later, Abe, on the first pitch that he saw, he hit it straight down the right field line. So RBI scoring double, 1-0 right away. And then a couple innings later, the pig came back the very next day. The pig came back. You thought he was too fat, but the pig came back. He just wouldn't go away. He got another RBI single. That's Shinosuke Abe. Again, it was a similar pattern, but it was a leadoff walk, a sacrifice bunt, and then a pig single. So 2-0. And then 2 innings later, well, guess who came back again? This time it wasn't in the form of an RBI, but Abe got another hit off of Messenger. This one was to left field. And that gave them runners on first and second, or first and third. Doesn't really matter because Garrett Jones came in and hit one to right field for their third run. 3-0.
So in the 5th inning again today, we actually get some offense here and after a walk and then some outs, Takayama comes up with a runner on second with 2 outs and gets a hit to left to score the first run of the game for the Tigers, making it 3-1. Not a lot of offense to speak of.
No.
One hit innings here. Not a lot of advancement of the runners or anything. And then so we go clean there for both teams in the 6th, 7th, and 8th. Mm-hmm. And then in the 9th, with 2 outs.
With 1 out. You're
outs.
Right. I was wrong.
Yep. Hojo comes up and cranks a home run to left to make it 3-2. And then Yamato grounds out to short to end the game.
Yes. So, impressive home run by Hojo. Too little, too late. That was his 5th at bat of the game, and it would have been nice to see earlier, but whatever. Yamato came in and swung at the first pitch that he saw, and it was a feeble grounder. So, you know, just as people were getting excited about the home run and, hey, maybe we have a chance, like, it was, you know, 15 seconds later, the game was over. So that was kind of a rough way to end the game for us, for sure.
Yeah, and then what, Abe had five for five today?
5 hits. Yep. 4 of them were singles, 1 was a double. So, he did do damage. He got 2 RBIs and the 5 hits, but it could have been a lot worse if he'd hit for power. And we'll see later on this week, somebody else had a multi hit game against us that was much more damaging than Abe. But either way, Abe was the story of this game. He absolutely crushes Messenger always. This has been the case, not just today. Or not just in this game, but all season. And in fact, I think even all Messenger's career, I think he's really been tormented by Abe. Definitely something that they might want to look at, you know, honestly, swallow your pride and walk him. I don't know.
Yeah.
So not a whole lot else to say in this one.
No, we kind of went through quite the relief corps, too, to make it through this game.
Yeah, 5 relievers for 4 innings.
Yeah, so, but I mean, they all held together. Didn't let any runs on the board, so they all did their job. You know.
3 hits in 5 innings, not bad. Yeah. No walks. So, yeah, pretty good. But you know, a loss is a loss. 3-2 loss. So now we are doing everything we can to avoid the sweep the very next day, and we are bringing Wild Boy, the Blue Goat, Koyo Aoyagi to the mound. Definitely not our best pitcher, but. Interestingly, in August, as far as ERA goes, he was our best pitcher. And so we bring him in, and they bring in a parade of lefties against him because Aoyagi is absolutely deadly against right-handed hitters, not so great against left-handed hitters. So this one actually remained silent for a good while until the fourth inning, right, Joe?
Yep. So in the fourth inning, Yamato leads off with a double, and then Takayama grounds out to first. So the runner made it over to third, so Fukudome comes up and gets a hit to center to score the first run of the game. So it is 1-0 Tigers, and then that's followed up by a Gomez double play. That's the end of the inning for us. So 1-0 Tigers. It's looking good. Aoyagi's looking good. He's made it through 7 1/3 at this point.
Aoyagi was absolutely humming because in the first inning he allowed 3 hits, but got out of the inning with a double play. And then after that, he allowed no hits. And prepare to have your jaw drop. One walk through 7 innings. You know, this is from a guy who I think in one game had 8 walks has more walks than strikeouts, has more walks than hits allowed on the year. A very unorthodox stat line from him. So in the 8th inning, as Joe said, it's 1 out and it's the 8th inning. And all of a sudden they bring in a left-handed pinch hitter and the control goes a little bit awry here. Not Takahiro Arai or Ryota Arai, but the English word. So he plunks a left-handed pinch hitter and then a right-handed pinch hitter comes in and he plunks him too. And so Kanemoto and pitching coach Koda decide enough is enough. You know, they've seen this pattern before with Aoyagi. He's a rookie. He doesn't necessarily do well in these situations. Maybe he's a bit rattled. So they pull him for... Come on, Satterwhite is red hot. Come on, Matsuda is red hot. No, let's bring in Kyuji Fujikawa. Oh, and by the way, they're bringing in the leading hitter in NPB, I believe, Hayato Sakamoto, who actually did not start any games in this series. So he comes in as a pinch hitter. And, you know, he gets ahead 2-0, and it goes to a 2-2 count. And then kablamo. Over the left field wall, 3-1 Giants, and the air completely vacuumed out of Koshien, vacuumed out of the lungs of all the Hanshin Tigers players. That's all she wrote.
Even me in the U.S., and it sucked the air out of the U.S. as well. So.
The entire United States of America said, thank you, Kyuji, for leaving our country when you did. So that's that. Kyuji gets tagged with actually only one run because it was just the Sakamoto run that was on his tab. Koyo Aoyagi gets hung with the loss. Poor kid. Pitched his heart out. Got pulled because of the plunks. And then that was it. So real bummer. Real bummer.
Yeah, I was excited we might have a win there. But
yeah. Our first of the year at Koshien against the Giants, please. No guy. So we are 0-9-1. We get 3 more games to lose against them later on. I'm not, you know what? I think every time they've played at Koshien against the Giants, I've always put on my optimist hat. I've always picked them to win the series. They haven't won a game. So I'm going to say this on record before that series even comes up. They're losing all 3 next time. There we go. Okay. Let's fast forward. Friday was a day off.
You know what they Friday could do? It's just kind of about to bring up the whole farm team and just put them in and see what happens.
Seriously, the farm team actually has been really good lately. I think they were 4-2 last week, and then they only had 3 games this week. And I don't know how they did today, but they won the first 2 of their games this week. So they're doing well. Yokawa. Teams. Yeah, seriously. I mean, the uniforms are the same. You know, nobody's going to know the difference. You know, you could put Yokawa in Toritani's uniform. You can, you know what I mean? You can just swap them all out completely. I'm okay with that. Oh my goodness. Okay, so let's move on. We are now heading into Tokyo for actually our last trip to Tokyo this year against the Yakult Swallows. We got 2 games, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, we bring Nomi to the mound. And they bring a kid named Sugiura who actually, at the end of this game, his ERA was 6.56. Nuff said. And we didn't make it worse. We made it better. So, go ahead, Joe.
All right. So, start the game off. Hojo came out with a hit. And then Yamato comes up and gives a bunt.
Yay.
To move the runner on to second.
Bunty, bunty. Hey.
So Takayama comes up with a runner on second there and cranks a double to left to score the first run of the game. We have a lead. Yes, we do. 1-0 Tigers.
Short-lived. after Takayama's hit, two straight outs, and then Nomi comes to the mound and goes, hit, home run! Yamada Tetsuto. Tetsuto Yamada. Put his first name first or his last name first. It don't matter. He killed it. 3-run home run, 3-1, Yakult Swallows. Guess what? 2 innings later, Yamada Tetsuto. Tetsuto Yamada. Another home run. This one was a solo job. So, it's just only 4-1. Nomi actually cruised after that. And actually, for once, he actually got out Yamada Tetsuto. Tetsuto Yamada. So, actually, Nomi went 6 innings, allowing those 4 runs, all off the bat of, yes, Yamada Tetsuto. And then we decide we are going to bring in Minoru Iwata. Anyone remember him? Iwata. Not Iwazaki, not Iwamoto, not Iwasada, but Iwata, who has been on the farm since the end of April, and for good reason. He actually did not even do well on the farm. I remember the commentators were saying in 11 starts on the farm, he allowed 10 home runs on the farm. but I think this was maybe to see, like, okay, maybe bringing him up to the top team where he's facing top hitters is going to bring out the best in him. Yamada Tetsuto. Tetsuto Yamada. Sorry?
I wonder what his contract status is. If he's up for a contract next year and they're like, you know what, let's give him one shot, it'll decide his contract.
You know, it could very well be, and I mean, that's been the rumors about guys like Shibata, about guys like Shunsuke, even Yamamoto, who's been called up, you know, seemingly for no reason. You know, you bring these guys up for the first time all year. Morikoshi's another one that's been called up, and see what they can do. And if they can't do anything, then yeah, maybe that's it. And it's a really harsh way to do things. I mean, you know, you're bringing them in to mm-hmm. games that don't matter, and you're giving them one game or one shot, and that's it. Well, anyways, I really hope they do a little bit better job of treating Iwata to more chances because, I mean, he has been a good pitcher for us for many years. This is not the year, and this was not the inning. He came in for the seventh inning and seventh inning alone. As I started to say, Yamada Tetsuto, Tetsuto Yamada with another home run, this one to right field, and they actually scored 3 more runs. However, these also were definitely contributed to by poor defense by us. And I don't remember all the details. I do remember on one of the hits, Nakatani, who had come in at center field, threw one about 20 feet over the catcher's head. I'm serious. I don't know how you throw that high when you're trying to throw home, but it was the worst throw to home I've ever seen, other than Egoshi last year, who threw it into the third base dugout. So, but also, the Swallows were helped by an error by Itayama earlier in the game, an error by Haraguchi at first base, and then also an error by Sakamoto when he could not catch a pop-up foul ball that fortunately landed foul. It was barely foul, but it was an easy out that he was not able to corral. So those were the 3 errors, and Nakatani's wasn't even called an error. But anyways, the tale of the tape is they got 4 runs against Iwata, and then the next inning they got 1 more run mm-hmm. against Yamamoto. So that's it. In 8 innings, they got 9 runs. And in...
They got embarrassed.
Yeah, we got thoroughly embarrassed. Like I said, we helped Sugi Uda bring his ERA down to 6.56 with his 5 innings, 1 earned run job. So way to go, bats. And way to go, gloves. And way to go, arms. We were none of that tonight or that night. That was, the worst I've seen the Tigers play in at least a day.
A day.
Yeah. It just seems like it. Honestly, I can't understand how they can find so many new ways to lose games, how they can find so many new ways to make errors in the field, because it seems like mm-hmm. anything you could draw up in your mind, they're going to do, and they have done this year. It's unbelievable. Just amazing. And it continues on Sunday. Did you have anything more to say about Saturday's game, or should we should we move to the one bright spot of the week? Okay, so Sunday, let's move ahead. Iwasada's on the mound for us, and Yamanaka is on the mound for them. And in the past, Yamanaka has spelled our doom, to the point where I've actually remembered his first name, so he's good, at least against us. Well, anyways, last time these two faced each other, Iwasada put up a good fight until I think it was a Ballantyne home run. In this one, Ballantyne actually was not in the starting lineup because of he injured his ankle running to first base in Saturday's game. That guy finds amazing ways to hurt himself too. Anyhow, Joe, I'm going to ask you to take us through the scoring.
All right. So starting in the third inning, Toritani comes up with one out and runners on first and third and gets a hit to right. Yes, that is a Toritani RBI.
Wow.
1-0.
Stop Tigers. The presses.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then Mr. Toritani is up again in the fifth inning with one out and no runners. So yes, that's right. He hits a home run to right field. And so that's 2-0 Tigers, and I think you said it's been at least 3 full months since we've seen a Toritani home run.
Well, that's what I thought, and then someone on Twitter corrected me. I guess he had one against the Giants at Tokyo Dome in July. But so that would be his second one since June the 2nd, I believe. So, yeah. His 7th of the year.
Mm-hmm. Well worth the money. Dollar for dollar. Yen for yen.
Yen for yen.
Best. Yeah. Investment. All right. So then continues on in the 6th inning, and bases loaded. No out opportunity, I believe, right?
Yes.
And then...
Good old times.
So, yeah. And so Iwasada comes up in that effort after a
Hojo out
to shallow right. And then, so Iwasada actually cranks a hit to left to score another run, making it 3-0 Tigers. And then we get a Kano grounder. And
no, strikeout.
Yeah. Strikeout, sorry, yeah. And then a Toritani grounder to short to end that opportunity.
Yes. So we got a run with bases loaded and no outs. That's better than we did earlier in the year. So
yeah.
Applause to Iwasada for doing what Hojo, Kano, and Toritani couldn't. Yeah, Iwasada chopped one over third base. And it wasn't like the prettiest of hits, but I mean, it got the job done. So good on him. Yeah, go ahead. Continue with the scoring. So, wow, it's all Joe tonight. Great.
Yeah, and then Takayama comes up and leads off the 7th with a double to left, and then followed up by Mr. Fukudome, who hits a home run to right, making it 5-0 Tigers.
Wow. And by the way, Yamanaka was actually pulled after the 5th inning, so he gave up 2 runs in 5 innings, and they pulled him for a pinch hitter. I think maybe they found that, maybe the Tigers have found a way to hit him because we got 6 hits in 5 innings. Wow. you know, that included 2 runs. And I guess they were saying, you know, they said, you know, we need to try and find a way to come back. And they couldn't because our friend, Mr. Iwasada, he was on fire. He really just had one, maybe 2 rough innings, right? I mean, the second inning, the bases were loaded. I mean, he loaded them with an intentional walk. But then he struck out their pitcher to get out of that one. And then in the 7th inning, they had runners on 2nd and 3rd with 1 out. And he induced a couple of grounders to get out of that one. But in that, he was clean, man. He was really good.
Yep.
Complete game, shutout.
9 innings pitched.
Yep.
130 pitches.
Yep. 4 hits against, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts.
Nice effort.
5-0, Hanshin Tigers win, Oh, wait, I should only say it once because we only won once. Okay, so 1-4 on the week. I predicted a 3-1-1 week. Way off.
4-2, I think.
Yeah, it was 5 games. You said 2-1 against the Giants, and then 1-1 against the Swallows. So you were right with the Swallows series, 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good on you. You're on a 1-game winning streak, just like the Tigers. that is that. So we are now sitting 6 games out of third place. Who cares how far behind the Swallows we are for fourth? Because fourth and fifth and sixth, I mean, if you're in there, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, we're 6 games behind with 11 games to go, I believe it is. So,
10? Yeah, 11.
11, yeah. It's looking pretty grim. But we do have 3 against the Bay Stars coming up this week. And if we can sweep that, it might give us that little bit of hope that we need for the Tigers to dash it later on. Anyways, let us look at the week that was and choose one player of the week.
Every week, One tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
So one win. Before today's game, we scored two runs, one run. Right, so we had 6 runs until today, and then we got 5. So we had 11 runs on the week. Not a lot of hitting action. Actually, we had a decent number of hits. Not a lot of RBIs. Not a lot of that kind of action. But we had a couple of good pitching performances. Joe, who you got for our POTW?
I think it is pretty easy to say that Mr. Iwasada deserves the player of the week this week. Absolutely the best performance of our pitching by a long shot with the complete game shutout. So good job, Iwasada.
Yes, yes, definitely a good job. As you know, we already went through his line a little bit earlier. Honorable mentions to the Blue Goat, Al Yagi, who did really well until he was pulled. Unfortunately, he got hung with a loss. But I don't know, man, if they had kept him in, you know, Al Yagi is good against right-handed hitters. He may have been able to get out of the jam that Kyuji couldn't. So a little bit of pity points for him. I'm not going to give him Player of the Week. And the other guy that I was looking at, Joe, was Shun Takayama. I think you've got his stat line for us.
Yep. So 316 for the week, 6 hits, 3 RBIs, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks. So not too bad.
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but he is leading NPB, or no, he's leading the Central League, maybe even NPB, as far as batting average with runners in scoring position. I think heading into today, it was 402. It might have gone down a little bit, but 402, my friends. For a rookie, my friends. This guy's a keeper.
Okay.
You know, so I'll take his strikeouts. I'll take his, you know, sometimes he hits to contact and doesn't make good contact. I'll take his mediocre, and that's being nice, fielding. Because hopefully that'll get better as he gains experience. Because this kid's bat is for real. Actually, he hit one today that looked like it could have been a home run. It was a little bit foul, but I mean he's getting some good wood on the ball lately. But actually, I am actually going to have a change of heart, and I am going to actually go with Iwasada as my player of the week as well. Give the kid the double pointage because he was money. Yeah, so good job. We are coming towards the end of the season, and I'm going to have to start calculating who wins the player of the year. Although we'll also, you know, we'll do it by math, and then we'll do it from our hearts as well at the end of the year, Joe. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Cool stuff. Cool stuff. Hunching Tigers English. Hunching Tigers English. Hunching Tigers English. Hot topics. Hot topics. Well, we are going to give ourselves some time to talk about a topic that I think deserves our attention, and it's something that we could talk about in the off season, but I think it's funner to contemplate and speculate about right now, and that is the status for 2017 for our 7 foreigners currently employed by the Hanshin Tigers. And so I want to just kind of have a discussion with you, Joe, about who you think is going to come back or who you want to have come back. So we'll kind of do a double on that. I'm going to run through the list real quick of our 7 foreigners, and then as we talk about them one at a time, we'll go over some stat lines and some characteristics and stuff like that. Maybe salaries if we get a chance as well. So our 7 foreigners. In the hitting department, we've got Mauro Gomez. We've got Matt Haig. We've got Nelson Perez. And as far as arms, we've got Randy Messenger, Marcos Mateo, Rafael Dolis, and Cody Satterwhite. So 7 guys, and there's nothing saying we can't employ all 7 next year. The thing is, there's a 70-player cap for the Tigers.
On the contracts, right?
And that includes, contracts. That doesn't include the development Ikusei players. But usually the teams will start the year with 66 or 67. That allows them to make mid-season acquisitions without having to fire someone or whatever. And I'm pretty sure you can't turn a player into a development player mid-year. So you have to decide at the start of the year, your Ikusei, your development, or you're not.
But you can go the other direction, though.
Right, you can.
And saw that with Haraguchi.
That happened with Haraguchi, and as well, it also happened with Tanabo, one of our pitchers. So, it can go the other way. But once they go from Ikusei up to the other one, they count in the 70 player bracket.
Right.
So with 70, you know, right now our roster's full, and we're probably going to lose a couple guys to retirement. We may cut, I don't know, I think we might cut like 20 guys. I have no idea. But anyways, that might include the foreigners. But all that to say, you know, we make room for X number of players through the draft, and then we may try to acquire some guys through free agency. We talked a little bit about that last week. And then it's the foreigners, right? They're going to kind of fill the gaps and stuff like that as well. So there may be room for 7, there may be room for 12, or there might only be room for 3 or 4. We don't know. But so let's talk about each of these guys, and we're going to start with the most veteran guy, and we'll go through until the most newest guy, good Englisher. Okay, so Randy Messenger has played with the team for 7 seasons. He joined the team in 2010. He was a reliever then, struggled, went down to the farm, converted himself to a starter, and has since been absolutely money in 5 seasons. That would be 2011, 12, 13, 14, and this year. He has reached double digits in wins. He has led the league in the Central League in strikeouts twice, and he might do it again this year. He's led the Central in wins once. He's got 1,000 career innings pitched. He's got 1,000 career strikeouts. He's got a pretty hefty contract as well. But the other thing about him, so his numbers for this year, he is 11-9 on the year. I believe 11-10. Pardon me, 11-10. Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost 170 innings pitched. With 162 strikeouts, his ERA is 3.18. So his I'm guessing his salary will go up. But actually, after next year, so for 2018 and beyond, I believe he does not count as a foreigner anymore. It doesn't mean he gets Japanese citizenship, but it means that he doesn't count against the maximum 4 active foreigners on the roster. So that's a little bonus if we decide to keep him. And what do you say, Joe? Have you got room in your heart for the most stable pitcher on our entire staff?
Absolutely. I think you sign him to a 1-year deal with an option for the team.
Yeah.
That way, if he falls off a cliff next year, we can say thanks, you know, for everything. But I doubt it. And then you have an option for that second year, and then you can keep him at least as a non-foreigner, you know.
Right.
So I think definitely worth keeping. He's been kind of the rock of the rotation. You know, he's had his ups and downs this year, but definitely worth the keeping.
Yeah, and I like what you say, and I'm just going to riff off of that a little bit. You know, even if he, I don't want to say fall off a cliff, but even if they find that there's a little bit of a drop in his production or whatever, like, you know, this guy has had a healthy arm his whole time here. I don't think he's ever mm-hmm. been on the reserve or he hasn't been deactivated for health reasons. So even if, you know, they see that maybe he's slipping a little bit or whatever, or he doesn't have the gas to go 7-8 innings anymore, make him our closer or our key reliever, man, because, you mm-hmm. know, he's still going to bring it. He's still got a lot of good pitches, you know, outside of his fastball, and his fastball is still pretty lively. So no doubt, I would say at least 1 year plus the team option. You know, get him into that Nihonjin bracket, and that'd be money. I mean, he's great. He's already the he's tied for the longest serving foreigner in team history, along with Jeff Williams and Gene Backe. So next year, bring him back. Let him be the sole holder of that record.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Next, in his third year right now is Mauro Gomez. Gomez joined us at the start of 2014, and he came late to camp in 2014, birth of his daughter, and then some health problems or complications with her. Fortunately, she's fine. Gomez came in, struggled at spring training, but then went on a crazy streak of, I think, 24 straight games, making it on base safely. Led the league in RBIs that year. Renewed, came late in 2015 to camp. That was because somebody stole his bag out of his car back in Dominican Republic. So he lost his passport, his visa, the day before he was slated to leave. Didn't do very well last year, and then this year he is right now, as of yesterday, batting .257, 21 home runs, 73 RBIs, 54 runs, which actually leads the team, which is kind of sad. But he's also leading, I think he's leading the Central League in strikeouts with 124, or he's definitely in the top 3 or 5.
Yeesh.
But yeah, what do you say about Gomez, Joe? This is it. This year, I think, was the club option, so they can cut him loose pretty easily.
Yeah, you know, I think it's tough because let's say we cut him loose. We need that bat. You know what I mean? We need somebody to be in that role.
It's one of those, you know what you're going to get.
Kind of yeah.
Thing. After 3 years, you know
what you get versus rolling the dice because unless you pick up another foreigner from another team, which, you know, seems to happen more so than trades, would be that, you know, other foreigners are signed by other teams. But I would say at least the Tigers aren't usually the ones to do that, where they pick up a foreigner that played on another team. Usually they're going out and getting their own. But
yeah, it's happened in the past, like guys like Andy Sheets and a couple others. But in general, yeah, we're getting our own.
Yeah, so, you know, and you got to think there's better bats out there because all the other teams in the Central League seem to have that foreigner that is just dominating at the plate. And Gomez has had his spurts of that this year, but has not had it the rest of the year. So I would probably lean towards, if, you know, their scouting thinks they have somebody that could fill that slot, I'd say give it a shot and drop Gomez.
Yeah, I really like Gomez. I'm not gonna deny that by any means. I think he's a super guy. I think that he works really hard, despite what people say. Like, oh, he doesn't learn anything. He stinks. Why does he always swing at those down low pitches? Can't he learn anything? Dude, he's trying. I guarantee you, he's trying. I do like him because it seems like you know, he definitely goes through lengthy periods of time where he is the most reliable bat on the team. Look back to April and even May.
Right.
I mean, other than Haraguchi, I mean, in May, he was, you know, one of our best bats for the first third of the season. However, he definitely goes through long periods of inactivity or looking uninterested or looking like he's just lost whatever he had. Case in point, from the start of Interleague until I think it was even the end of July, maybe. It was like 6 weeks anyways between home runs. And then he went on another spree, and then I think he's only had one in the past 4 or 5 weeks. So the thing that I don't like about him then is that the hot and colds are just too... Well, okay, the colds are just too long. If the hots are long, that's great. The colds are just like, I mean, they're like Winnipeg winters, people. It's terrible.
Yeah, Arctic.
So, but here's a suggestion. I was actually going to say cut him loose, but I would also say this, and we'll get into this a little bit later as we talk about more of these players, but I would say sign him back with this condition, put it in his contract, or even let him know verbally or whatever, say, look, the position's not yours. And at the start of this year, he was kind of told, first base is yours. You know, Kanemoto said, Gomez, Toritani, Fukudome, you got your position. The rest of you, fight, right? I would say next year, say, Gomez, we're bringing you back. We like you. And you've done a lot of good stuff for the team in the last 3 years. But we're also going to be signing other foreign bats. And you're going to have to fight for your position right from spring training. And if we like the other foreign bat better right from the start, you're going to be on the farm. And if you're okay with that, sign. And if not, then sorry. Or thanks and see ya.
Yeah,
that would be my suggestion.
It's a lot of money for that.
Well, I mean, depending on what they offer him, right? I mean,
the thing is they
do cut the Japanese player salaries if they don't perform well. I don't know if they'll be able to do it and get away with it with Gomez. But
right, this one's
again,
saying.
Again, so if he doesn't take it, no way. Yeah, and if that's the case, then I say, okay, well, you know, what's got to sound like this stuff? Like
the Swallows or the Bay Stars will pick him up or something.
Seriously, if he goes to the Bay Stars, he will crush. I mean, he loves that stadium.
Yeah.
But he has, I mean, if he stays away from the Swallows, that's good because he loves the Swallows pitching. So, you know, keep him facing the Swallows pitching so that he can continue to crush at Jingu as well. But yeah, that might be something that maybe, you know, I was going to say Manny Ramirez, sorry, Alex Ramirez. I should know that name. You know, he might be interested in Gomez and cutting Lopez loose or something like that, or who knows. Anyways, so that would be our number two. The rest of the guys, the rest of our foreigners. Oh no, I guess Nelson Perez is in his second year, so we'll go to Nelson Perez for our next one. He signed with the team midway through last season. I think it was in June, and there was all this talk about him replacing Matt Merton because Merton was having a really rough go at things, and you know, they said that Perez was to put pressure on Merton in a sense, and
right.
From then Merton actually did perform better. But Perez has had, I think, 10 plate appearances, 9 at-bats on the big team, and that was at the end of last season. He went, I think he went 1-for or 0-for.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyways, he didn't impress, but it was too short. He's been, exactly. He has been pretty good on the farm this year. I don't know if his last year's numbers, but he's batting .310 with 10 home runs and 36 RBIs, and that's in just 213 at-bats. So he's getting her done, for sure. His weakness would be quite a few strikeouts as well, 64. His OPS, for those of you that like those kind of numbers, is right now 915, which is a very respectable number. However, keep in mind it's farm. But what do you think? I mean, do you keep a guy like that for another year and keep him on the farm for another year? Do you really think he's going to be okay with that? Or do you think he's ready to say, come on, I'm ready to try, set me loose so I can fly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Be interesting to see. I don't know what his salary is.
It's pretty low. I think it is 20 million yen, which is about 200,000.
Yeah, so that's pretty dollars. Cheap for a foreigner. So
it is, yeah.
So, but I mean, if he's willing than... to, yeah.
Sorry, he was in the... To... Oh, go ahead.
I say, and if he's willing to kind of re-sign as is, maybe keep him. But,
yeah,
in case, especially if you're going to drop Gomez, you definitely want to keep somebody that's lived in Japan and they can fill a slot in an immediate need.
Right.
Because he's probably going to bat better than some of our other players. So maybe you keep him as a as that option if the Gomez replacement doesn't work out.
Right. So maybe train Perez, or train him. He's not a dog. give him practice at first base, or, you know what I mean? Give him some reps there or whatever, because he is an outfielder. But I would say, where he came from, he was in the BC League playing in Ishikawa before he signed with the Tigers. So his salary was definitely lower there.
Yeah.
So unless he's got a lead on something with better pay elsewhere, he might be happy to come back for the same pay and even play on the farm. But like you said, yeah, maybe give him more of an opportunity to actually compete for playing time on the big team, because, his numbers show that he certainly can rake. And let's face it, we need guys that can rake, that can put the ball over the fence. We don't need singles hitters anymore. We've got enough of those. So I would say, yeah, if he's okay to stay, I would say keep him. But otherwise, don't feel bad about letting him go. I would also say if you're not planning to ever give him a chance at Ichigun, then don't.
Yeah.
Because, maybe his original purpose was just to put a little bit of pressure on Merton. But he hasn't put pressure on anyone this year, despite the fact that technically he could put it on Gomez, because he's gone through a lot of cold spells. Okay, let's move on. Let's finish up the batters, because the rest of the guys are actually first-year guys. So we'll look at Matt Haig. And Matt Haig, as a lot of you know, was the MVP of AAA International League last year. He was in the Toronto Blue Jays organization, playing third base behind Josh Donaldson, MVP Superman. So obviously he wasn't getting playing time there. He signed with Hanshin Tigers. We had great hopes for him. And he actually started the year quite well. He was on the Heroes podium twice before anybody else, in games 2 and 3, at Kyocera Dome. Kompai, and what was his other, he had another Japanese word.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyways, hey, good on him. I think he said Gombate. That was the other one. Yeah.
Kompai and Gombate. Yeah.
Yeah, but, good guy. I know him personally, and he is a really good guy. His overall stat line, though, as time went on, he batted .231, 2 home runs, 11 RBIs. Didn't strike out a whole lot, so that was all right. Like, his on-base percentage was .339, and his slugging percentage was .346. So, not terrible, but definitely not what the team was expecting. And he has spent a ton of time on the farm. He is hurt right now with a shoulder injury. And I'm guessing he's probably not going to be coming back to the big club for the rest of this year. Because even when he comes back, he'll probably want to do some rehab games. And our season's winding down, folks. So,
yeah.
And then just quickly, his numbers on the farm. Batted .339 in 34 games with 2 home runs, 12 RBIs. And his on-base percentage was .429. His slugging percentage was .450. So his numbers, other than the power numbers, were similar to Perez's or comparable to Perez's. But what do you think about Haig in 2017?
To be honest, that none of what I say is against a person as a person. It's more about as the fit for the Tigers.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to say that we have enough 230 batters. I don't think we need to spend a foreigner spot on a 230 batter,
yeah.
To be honest. So yeah. I'm going to say pass.
Okay. I'm also actually going to say pass, and for a similar reason to you. But also, I think it's also a little bit more of a psychological one in a sense that I'm guessing that he probably doesn't feel like he was given a fair shake at the Ichigun level. And I would actually agree with that. I mean, right. You know, like if you look at some of Gomez's stretches of a month or month and a half, he has hit well below 231. I mean, he was hitting below 200. He was not hitting home runs, you know, and even though there was the threat of, you know, he could hit one anytime never came, and they didn't farm him. So, you know, if you look at it in that sense, granted, you know, Gomez does have the past. But, mm-hmm. You know, right now, even if they were to say to Haig, hey, we want you back in 2017, you know, Haig is probably going to be going, oh, yeah, but if I struggle for 2 weeks, you're going to send me down to the farm again. Screw you. Exactly. At least that's what I would say. So mm-hmm. In my opinion, I would say, yeah, he's not a good fit for the Tigers. He's a great guy, of course. But I would say he's not a good fit for the Tigers. Also for the reason that he doesn't hit for a ton of power. I mean, he doesn't hit a ton of home runs. He had 11 home runs in AAA last year. Granted, that was in a pitcher's league. But still, I really think, you know, with the Tigers, with foreign hitters, you know, we need guys that are going to put the ball over the fence. I think the fans demand it. I think the media looks directly at that when they look at numbers and stuff like that. Unless it's a guy, you know, unless you're a guy like Merton, who's going to hit 330 or higher,
right.
You know, for several seasons in a row. And that's hard to do, man. I mean, guys like Merton, you can't just, you know, they don't grow on trees. So,
right.
So, you know, I think the hopes was that Haig was going to come in and be the next Merton. And I think that was a mistake on the Tigers' part to assume that, you know, just because he had the high average and, you know, the middling power, I mean, decent gap power or, you know, decent amount of doubles and, you know, home run here or there. I think they looked at the numbers and said, oh, you know, he could fill the numbers gap that we're going to be missing when Merton leaves. And that was a mistake. So I would say no to Haig in 2017 just because it just doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let us jump into the three remaining guys. These are all relievers. They all came in 2016. Marcos Mateo, Rafael Dolis, and midway through the year, Cody Satterwhite. So Mateo and Dolis. We'll start with Mateo. He struggled early on. He was quite bad at the start of the year. Control issues. He didn't actually allow a lot of home runs, but just the control issue was the big thing. And he ended up being sent down to the farm. He came back on June the 14th and has been up since then. And I don't have his total numbers, but I said it last week. I think it was 27 and a third innings with one earned run. He came in for one game this week and allowed one unearned run. So 28 and a third innings with one earned run in this most recent time. 48 games overall, 51 innings, ERA of 1.94 with 51 strikeouts. Just 39 hits, but 24 walks. So his walk numbers are kind of high. We'll look at all three relievers just because they're kind of, I don't know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think it's best to do that way. Okay. So Rafael Dolis started on the farm because he was actually kind of brought in as insurance in case Mateo didn't work out. When Mateo didn't work out, Dolis came up. Actually, when Haig didn't work out, Dolis came up, pitched a little bit, pitched all right, hurt himself a little bit, went down for a while, came back up. He was lights out when Mateo was gone, and he kept the closer position until he hurt himself at the end of July and has not been back since. I think it was a shoulder issue. So Dolis, his numbers on the big team, 34 games played, 34 innings pitched, only 19 hits against, 16 walks, 36 strikeouts, and an ERA of 2.12. And then on the farm, he's also got some pretty decent numbers. Well, he didn't pitch that much on the farm. But at least 7 games played, 11 innings pitched, ERA of 1.59 nice. With 9 strikeouts. So really good numbers for him. Satterwhite's story is a bit different. Satterwhite was actually brought in right around just before Mateo came back from his deactivation. And I think he kind of was a Perez in a sense that he was brought in to put a bit of pressure on Dolis and Mateo. He pitched 8 games down on the farm, 7 innings, no earned runs, 12 strikeouts, 3 hits, 2 walks, got called up. Upon being called up, his first few games, he was not awesome, But actually, since then, 15 games played, which is actually quite a bit for the short amount of time he's been up. 16 innings, 13 hits, 5 walks, 15 strikeouts, and an ERA of 1.69.
Wow.
So you're looking at three guys, all of whom have ERAs around 2, all of whom have looked really good once they settled in. Mm-hmm. And my thing here, Joe, is, and you can disagree with me right away if you want, but I really see a need for us to keep one, not three.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against any of them. I think they're all great. And honestly, having said that, any one of them, although I do have a preference, but I would say any one of them. I mean, in the sense that I would feel comfortable with any of them being the closer or the reliever.
Right. I'm going to start off and say that, I mean, no offense to Dolis, but if you can't stay healthy and you get injured twice in a season.
Yes.
I don't know if it's worth the money to pay somebody to sit there, especially you're going to have an insurance player in case you get hurt.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my first off the list is Dolis. No offense to him as a person, but yeah. I just don't think we need an injured reliever.
Okay. So, I'm taking Mateo off my list first. And the reason for that, the reason that Dolis is not the first off of my list is because I look at the person as well. He's got a good personality. He does try to use Japanese. He's trying to learn the language. He's a very cheerful guy. And he also, he just seems, he's younger. I think he's 28, where Mateo is like around 32. So he's still developing in a sense. He's still got a chance to even improve and get even better. And I think his control has even gotten better since he's come over here. And that's the reason he's not first off of my list. Whereas Mateo doesn't speak any English, doesn't speak any Japanese. He seems like a nice enough guy, but I just don't see him as someone that's going to blend in with the team very well. So that's my thing. But who's your second guy off the list?
I don't know. That was where I was going to say it's tough because Mateo's been, really good since he came back. And Satterwhite, it's just my impression. I was, maybe I got such a bad taste in my mouth from those first 3 or 4 outings that I was like, why are we still keeping him around? But I guess when you read off the stat lines, he's actually doing better than Mateo, mm-hmm. As far as for the total year. But, I could see flipping a coin. I mean, I really can't. I think either of them would do well if you brought him back, but that's my
So Mateo is the first off my list, so now I'm going between Dolis and Satterwhite, I guess. The winner of this one for me is Satterwhite, and the reason is health. I mean, because that's kind of the next big important thing. Actually, it's probably more important than the first one, but as much as I like Dolis, and I have met him, and he's a very nice guy, I think Satterwhite, he's also fairly young. I think he's 29, maybe 30. But it looks like he's got room for improvement. And he definitely, as he started to get accustomed to Japanese ball life in Japan, he's been really good. And I'd love to see him continue that. Either way, like I said, Dolis was brought in as an insurance policy for Mateo. And Satterwhite was brought in a sense, as an insurance policy for both of them, or as a stimulus or as a catalyst for both of them. And so there's no need for three. There's not even a need for two. And so I'm saying keep Satterwhite and let the other two go. Thank you so much, or gracias, or whatever. But adios. So that's my take. So I'm saying, just to recap my side of things, I'm saying with Gomez, offer him a lower contract, and I'm not saying super low ball him, but offer him a lower contract, but also a condition that there is going to be another foreign slugger first baseman coming in to fight for time against you. So if you're willing to compete for playing time at this salary, stay. If not, see ya. Then I'm saying bye-bye to Haig. I'm saying Perez, if they have any intention of giving him playing time, then keep him. Otherwise, bye-bye Perez. And then keep Messenger, keep Satterwhite, and see you later to Dolis and Mateo. What was yours again?
So I was going to keep Messenger, keep Perez if he's willing to stay, and then keep Satterwhite and let everybody else go.
All right. Okay. Interesting stuff. We would love to know what your opinion is, and if you can share it with us in the comments, or if you can share it with us on Facebook, share it with us by email, podcast@thehunchingtigers.com. That would be awesome. I would love to hear what other people think about the foreigners on the Hanshin Tigers.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
All right. So, as you all know, or maybe as you all don't know, I'm not sure, we've got 5 more games on tap for this coming week. But this week is kind of an oddball in the sense that we get 2 straight days off. Monday and Tuesday are off, and we are back on the diamond on Wednesday, and we play 5 straight. They're all at Koshien, and it's against 3 different teams. We got 1 against the Carp, and as much as you say uh-oh and shudder, remember they have actually clinched the Central League, and what are they playing for? They're going to bring their farm boys, and guess what? They're still going to beat us. And then we got 3 against the DNA Bay Stars. Those are all at Koshien. And then we got 1 against Kyojin, and actually that's a 3-game set as well, and it continues the next week on Monday and Tuesday. So we actually play 7 straight at Koshien against these 3 different teams. And you know what, Joe? Let's predict the 7 instead of the 5. Let's just see how it goes, because okay. I don't know when episode 48 is coming out, and you don't either. So first, Carp, win or lose?
I'm going to say win.
I'm going to say lose. Okay. DNA, how many out of 3?
I'm going to say 1 out of 3.
I haven't even thought about this, but I am going to say, 2 out of 3. And then Giants, 3.
You've already locked in your prediction there.
Yes, 0 for 3.
I'm going to go 1 and 3. So I'm going to go for...
1 and 2? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, 1 of 3. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 1 of 3, so 1 and 2.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that gives me 3 wins out of 7.
And I am going 2 wins out of 7. How do you like that? That's funny because I think in last week's show I said for September we were going to go 17-2. Of course, I said that in jest. So, yeah, maybe 2 and 5 for me. And maybe 2 and 17, you never know. It could happen. So there you have it, everybody. Like I said, baby Alex A-Ray is in the house. So who knows when I'm going to have peace and quiet to enter the studio and have some talks with Joe or have some talks with myself. This has been episode 47. Thank you for joining us. Joe, if I don't get to talk to you on the air before the end of the season, thank you for a season worth of hard work and just awesome insights. You always had the numbers that I didn't have, and you know, you took care of a lot of the details that I didn't have as well. So I appreciate that. It's been fun talking with you.
No problem.
Yeah. Great. All right. Well, let's enjoy this week, everybody. The 7 straight at Koshien. Just so you know, for the rest of the season, there's 4 more games after that. 3 on the road, 1 in Hiroshima, 2 in Nagoya, and then we got 1 more at home to end the year. Could be a retirement game for somebody. Fukuhara. Yuji. Got any more names, Joe? Sorry, we'll leave it at that. We'll stay positive.
Forced retirement, you mean?
Forced retirement, Iwata. Anyways, oh, poor Tigers. Well, anyways, let's cheer them on through the end of the year, buddy. I know it's been a really hard year, but it's almost done, and I really think there's hope for 2017. We're going to be back soon with episode 48. I am going to promise you very loosely, so I might break it, but we're going to get up to episode 50 before the end of 2016. So stick around for that. Thank you so much. Enjoy your baseball this week.
ありがとうって今は言わせて